So we now going to talk about group decision making techniques, and then in group decision making techniques, it's absolutely important to have these kind of methods, is because it helps me in building up my risk plan, it build up my schedule plan, my scope, my human resource. Very integral method of using to be used while I'm working around in a project. So let's look at we've gone through all these aspects where we said ye ho gaya sir. Okay, so I'm starting off. So this is the rest please delete, and the next you have to start. All right. So document analysis. We're talking about document analysis. Before I read through it, I'll just read through the slide for you. Document analysis is a use to elicit requirements by analyzing existing documentation and identifying information relevant to the requirements. There are wide range documents that may be analyzed to help elicit relevant requirements. For example, documents that may be analyzed include, but are not limited to, business plans, marketing literature, agreements, request of proposals, current process flow, logical data models, business rules and guidelines, application software documentation, business process interface documentation, similar use of historical data, other requirement documentations, problem or issue logs, policies, procedures, regulatory documents such as law, code, or ordinance that's been passed by the government, environmental and pollution standards, and designing and engineering standards. So, lots and lots of documentation for you, my dear friends, to go through before you start doing it. Analysis is a great tool to be used before you do anything. So, documentation plays a very integral role in any project that you work in. Why? Because not a lot of us are very comfortable in documentation. I mean, that's the practical scenario around it. But unfortunately, data and documentation can save you from any kind of issue that you might face tomorrow about your project. So let's look at the other aspects of it. We talk about group creativity technique. It's also called as mind mapping or idea mapping technique, where you use a lot of creative tools like brain map, mind mapping in terms of process flows. So to read you through this is, idea mapping is a technique used to consolidate the outcomes of a brainstorming into a single map to reflect the commonalities and differences of understanding and generate a new idea or alternative. The idea generated with the technique is expected to be more realistic, close to reality, and an innovative one. So let's consider you've done a brainstorming session and you want to now sum up your brainstorming session. What do? You create a process flow. Process flow in terms of its branches, its tributaries, and the fruits that it will bear. So what I prefer doing after every brainstorming session is on the bark of the tree, I write down the issue and then branch out a lot of things on what I would discussed and what have been frozen. So what have been frozen will be the fruits of that discussion or a brainstorming session. So that's how we can work around mind mapping, and we can use mind mapping as a great tool. You get lots and lots of information over internet and different formats how you can create mind maps for yourself and for your project teams. I personally prefer the tree method. Affinity diagram. This technique allows large number of ideas, alternatives to be classified into group and review and analysis. So now what we know, affinity diagram is basically the bigger chunk of information that I have in terms of ideas, which helps me to distinguish between what can be what is usable, what is not usable. So I have 10 ideas. So 10 ideas will be blocked into one in different parameters, and then every idea would be thrashed out based on the requirement. Multi-criteria decision analysis. This is a technique that is used in decision matrix. So provides systematic analytical approach for establishing criteria like risk levels. So I'm going to take you through one of them in this session. Uncertainty and evaluation. This data is further utilized for evaluation, prioritizing, and ranking the many ideas and alternatives that you have. Let's look at observation. Observations provided a direct way of observing individuals at the work environment. That's one observation. How they perform the job task and carry out the processes that we define. The technique is particularly suitable for detailed processes when the user of the product are reluctant to articulate these requirements. Observation is referred as job shadowing. Also, is usually done externally by an observer, or by observing the business expert performing the job, or by participant observer who actually performs a process or procedure to uncover the hidden requirements, or also by people who are intending to learn the method or the process that you are implementing. So one of the observation method is the audit method. If you realize, a lot of auditors come to your organization and audit the processes that you're going through. Prima facie to find out a fault, to find out a defect, or to decide the accuracy of the process that you're implementing. Alternate analysis, many activities have alternate methods of accomplishment, and hence various different levels of many activities have alternate methods of accomplishment, and hence various different levels of resource capability or skills. Different size and type of machines, different tools, etc. The main rent-buy decision also will vary from each one of them. Analysis of these alternatives will be useful to decide the best choice, contingency plan, and risk management plan. So, if my project requires, say, vehicles, my alternate analysis helps me to decide whether I have to buy the vehicles or I have to rent it. Ideally, a very important tool to be used. Because we always have a choice of a lot of material that we can use. So rent to buy is a good option, is a good method of alternate analysis. Let's look at prototypes. What do you mean by prototype? Prototyping is a method that provides a working model of the expected product for the experiment, an analysis of requirement rather than limiting the discussion to abstract representation of the requirements. Prototype supports the concept of progression elaboration in iterative cycle of mock-up creation, user experimentation, and feedback generation revision. So, what's a prototype? Ideally, let's understand that before going in deeper into it. Prototype is nothing but a dummy that can be used for a project. So, say I want to create a software. So, I will create a simulation of that software. Or I want to create a website, so I create a demo of that website. So it's nothing but a demo of how it would look like, how it would work, where it would go, what would the feature. Nothing works. Have you visited any retail store for mobile phones? Do you see the dummy phones there? That's exactly a prototype of your method of doing things. So that's a prototype. It gives you look and feel. However, it does not have all the necessary components attached to it. So it is not optimized. And then the creators of it have a better understanding of how to go about it. So that's a prototype method, very efficiently used. After performing enough feedback cycles, the requirement obtained are sufficient, complete, and accurate to the next phase, such as planning, design, and execution. So that's exactly why a prototype method is also a very beautiful method to be used. Apparently, prototype methods can be used, not used that frequently in a long-term project or a big project. When it comes to high-value projects, a prototype is a must to be done. So supposedly, I'm doing a million dollar project. Of course, I can't directly get into that. So I need to have some kind of prototype for my work that I intend to make or create. So, or the project that I want to execute, I need to have some prototype. So it's a good method of giving me correct feedback of how things would happen. The next is, of course, benchmarking. Benchmarking is basically through market intelligence. Benchmarking is done through how the industry is working around. The proposal suggested processes and operations are compared with one that are used in similar products or services or organizations. In order to identify best practices, improve on them, and generate a basis of performance measurement, the benchmarking may be in comparison with internal or external products of the organization. So I do a benchmarking study of a new product that I would want to launch. If it's already there in the market, I try going to every individual who's actually made it or the organization who's made it and try finding out their challenges, their opportunities, their weaknesses, and the strengths that they have in the product. This is also called as the SWOT analysis of the product and then a product or services that you have to do. So Benchmarking, again, a very good analysis tool that you can use for your projects. That's exactly what I spoke about, which is called a SWOT analysis. It talks about my strengths, weaknesses, or opportunities or threats. Now, SWOT can be personal, SWOT can be project-wise, SWOT can be organizational-wise. Okay, SWOT can be done for competition. SWOT can be done for environment. So SWOT can be done. The method can be used just anywhere. This is a very popular technique of project management and is used to examine and analyze the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. Perspective of each aspect of project management to assess the severity of weaknesses and threats. This assessment results shall be used to decide the corrective actions and incorporate them at all stages of project management. The assessment on strengths and opportunities areas shall be used to enhance the project management and have better control to accomplish the project management deliverables. All the tools and techniques elaborated for analysis must be used selectively for the analysis of requirement received for each one of project management aspects. So not necessarily everything has to be used, but yeah, whatever suits the best, you got to check that out. Risk analysis, risk management, a project management aspect, risk analysis is important. Why is it important? Because I need to know what can deteriorate my project, what can bring my project to a halt, what can actually fizz out my project. So risk analysis plays a very, very important role in my projects. So risk management, a project management aspect that can have serious consequences if not handled with proactive attitude since beginning of the project. Risk identification and risk management plans are the basic requirements supported by the qualitative and quantitative analysis, then backed with risk control mechanism. So we're going to talk about risk now, and something very close to my heart as a facilitator or as a project manager is risk. So I would want to anticipate all the risks that the project has before I could go ahead. Not necessarily I am able to define every risk or identify every risk, but I need to be aware of the maximum that is possible. So let's look at what is risk and how do we categorize risk. Risk is ideally categorized and analyzed in three aspects. The first one being its appetite, tolerance, and threshold. So what's an appetite? Anticipated degree of uncertainty. So anticipated degree of uncertainty means my capacity to consume that risk. Tolerance is the degree or the amount or the volume of risk that an organization can withstand. And threshold is the level of uncertainty or the level of impact that an organization can tolerate. So, well, threshold is the limit. Tolerance is the amount. Appetite is the consumption. Just remember these three words and risk is you'll be able to understand risk better. So cumulative consideration of all above shall decide the risk attitude towards a project to decide and select different risk responses to keep the project under control. The risk can be either positive or negative, which are commonly referred as opportunities or threats of a project. Positive risk that offers opportunity within the limits of risk tolerance can be pursued in order to generate enhanced value. So, how do I give you an example around this? Let's assume the risk of me traveling at night with my car. I have a risk appetite. When I say risk appetite, which means even if my car breaks down, in next 15 minutes, I can have a new car. That's an appetite that I have. So 15 minutes is something that I can bear the breakdown. Tolerance is if it is more than 15 minutes, I can have it for 30 minutes without a car. And threshold is post 30 minutes, I will have to find a new alternative for it or be standard there at that location. So that's how I calculate risk. So one is, as I told you, it's appetite, it's tolerance, and it's about threshold of the risk that I have. And that defines my attitude. So what does my attitude become towards the risk? Okay, so 30 minutes. If I'm not, if I'm traveling to a known road, I'm okay. It's okay if I break down. But if I'm traveling towards an unknown road, then and it's a night, I will not be. So my attitude towards it is a little lower. Say I wouldn't want to take that risk. But if it's a local road that I travel very oftenly, I know where can I repair my car and how can I get it faster, or can I replace my car immediately? My appetite is better, my attitude is better towards the risk. Qualitative risk analysis and quantitative risk analysis. Currently, we're going to talk about qualitative risk analysis. So, every product will have, or every service will have a quality. We've agreed in our previous chapters about it. So, every quality will have some risk, or every quantity will have some risk. So, qualitative analysis of risk is very important. Let's look at this. The qualitative analysis is a rapid and a cost-effective mean of establishing the priorities for planning the responses to the risk. Key advantages of qualitative risk analysis is to reduce the level of uncertainty and focus on the high priority risk. Unbiased risk approach of the participant is the key to the effective analysis. Established definitions of the level of probability and impact of the risk management plan will help you to reduce the bias influence. The certain criticality of risk related actions. Requirements also may magnify the importance of risk. An evaluation of the quality of information available will help you to magnification of the risk importance. So, lot of information on the slide, but I would like to narrow it down and make it easy for you. Qualitative risk analysis tells me what should be my behavior as a project management when I'm qualitatively analyzing the risk. I should be unbiased. I mean, completely unbiased. Who's done that? Who will be incorporated? Typically from people point of view, or typically from a project point of view, because it's my baby, I will want to take care of it. So I got to be very unbiased when I'm handling risk, because it's not about you now. It's about the project. Yeah. So you got to relate it to the project and take and do a risk analysis, which is absolutely unbiased. So that approach helps you in what? It helps you in managing the risk and help you to reduce the influence of that risk. This also helps you to magnify the opportunities if you're able to calculate it well. It also magnifies the opportunities, because every risk, as we said, always will come with a threat or opportunity. And risks are good. You see, you've got to take some risk while you're doing your projects, but you've got to calculate them well, right? So that takes us to the next part of it. Inputs of qualitative analysis is risk management plan. The plan that we've at the macro level that we've created in our earlier chapters, the ideal risk management shall address the roles and responsibilities of conducting the risk management, budgets and schedules of risk management, risk categories. What are the different categories that I will have that I would break down the risk in? So this is also called as RBS, which is risk breakdown structure. Whether a risk in human resources, risk in software, risk in application, risk in execution, risk in closeouts, a risk in qualitative analysis, a risk in quantitative analysis. So risk is defined everywhere, and it's defined in two words, impact versus probability. What is the impact? Impact is the effect that it will leave on me. Probability is the occurrence of the risk that might take place. So the probability and stakeholder risk tolerance, such as plan, may be developed while performing the risk analysis. So if this goes wrong, this is what I'm going to do. If this goes wrong, this is what I'm going to do. So if and then is what it starts working on, and your risk is all being probability and impact is what you have to measure every time. This takes us to the next part, which says a risk management plan for creating a risk qualitative risk analysis. You require a scope baseline. Products are common. Recurring types have more well understood risk. But for the project using state-of-the-art, first of its kind technology, or highly processed complex projects tend to have more uncertainty, leading to more risk. Clearly, defining scope baseline is essential for effective evaluation and analysis of the risk identified. Risk register is a compilation of the list of identified risk with the root causes of the risk, probable impact, effect of each risk, and the potential response to the risk. information that be may be used for the experience of earlier projects and expertise of the stakeholders. So it's nothing but a log that I have, you know. So that logs tell me this was the risk, this is the risk that is there, this is how I'm going to find out, this is the root cause of the risk. The root cause has led me to this kind of a delay or this kind of an opportunity or threat. This is the possible impact if it happens every time. This is the probability that it may happen at certain interval of time. And what should be, what is the response that people have taken over a period of time into that. So a beautiful way of understanding this is trying to understand how Japanese guys, Japanese technology has been built up. It's built up based a lot on risk. So why risk is because the uncertainties that Japan has faced over a period of years have led them analyze the risk up to some level, up to very high level, that they're prepared for any tsunami, any storm that comes in, because that's something that keeps happening there, and they are very, very, you know, fast in getting back. So it is also said wars today are not run on what technology or what ammunition do you have, but are run on, or you know, the country that's more powerful is the country that who recovers faster. So that's how risk is important, and you need to have a risk register during your project that you're running. Qualitative analysis, again, tools and techniques. The tools and techniques used for analysis of various project aspects are elaborated earlier. The few of them will be useful for risk analysis also. In addition to these, tools and techniques specifically suitable for the qualitative analysis are elaborated below. So what's that? Risk data quality assessment. What do we mean by that? It's risk data quality assessment will evaluate the usefulness of the data of risk management by examining the degree of which the risk is understood and with integrity of the risk available. The output of the qualitative analysis with poor quality risk data shall be either be little use or absolutely no use. It may be necessary to gather better data in case the data is not applicable or acceptable, though it may lead to more time and resource than originally planned. So it's important that you have correct data. If you do not have correct data, there's no use of doing a risk data quality analysis. Similarly, risk urgency assessment. So what should be my response when it is all urgent? The risk inquiry immediately, or early response as termed as urgent to address. The response urgency is a cumulative function of probability of occurrence, symptoms, warning signs, risk rating, and time taken by the risk to affect the project or the people with it. The risk urgency assessment may be combined with the risk rating derived from the probability and impact matrix in order to assign the final risk severity rating. Let's take an example. Say I want to create a risk assessment, a risk urgency assessment. So let's pick up an example of our Mumbai Pune Express. During rains, the road is filled with water, and it's very risky to drive your car at 80 and 100 kilometers per hour. So what does the government do? Or there is understanding on all those terminologies, the signs are given to you. It also tells you, if you've noticed, it also tells you the symptoms of what would happen. So if your car is not working fine, it gives you a symptom on it. So it will start wobbling if the tire does not have the required amount of air in it. Similarly, you get these symptoms, and occurrence, if it is very, very common, then the occurrence, you need to react to that. So any risk before coming to you has a lot of symptoms, and you got to be vigilant as a project manager to understand those symptoms and then work on it. So quickly, when we talk about urgency or risk urgency, remember that no risk will hit you immediate. Okay, it will always have a symptom. be vigilant to understand these symptoms. As project manager, it's your duty and moral responsibility to understand those symptoms. What will help you to do that? Of course, your risk assessment urgency assessment that you will take care of. Risk categorization. So risk categorization could be done in various formats. I spoke about risk actually is at every aspect of it. At the initiation process, at the initial level of your process project, the risk is always high, and it is lowest at the closeout. So risk categorization, risk such as source of risk, root of the risk, impact of the project area, and other project specific criteria. Example, geographic project areas, custom sector, products are used for risk categorization. The categorization is used to judge or identify the risk, the effects of risk on the project area and the project areas most affected by the probable risk. Like to give you an example again of Mumbai city. When it rains, there are specific areas that are drought filled, are filled with water. The low lying area, those are called as low lying areas in Bombay. Typically, you see a lot of activities going around on the beaches that we have across the Mumbai. So to ensure that the people who stay near it are safeguarded. So lots and lots of categorization. So this is how categorization happens of risk. Okay, because even your monsoon will give you some intimation that it's coming. This technique also shall help to determine work packages. So this will also help me to understand my work packages. In what kind of an activity my risk is more and what kind of activity my risk is less. What is the probability of this risk occurrence? What is the impact of its so remember, risk has to be identified, or rather, the symptoms have to be identified. Its impact and its probability have to be identified. This technique also shall help to determine work packages, activities, project phase, and or even development of effective risk response. Risk probability and impact assessment. I've been speaking about this. I'll read you through this, and I think we've already gone through it, but I'll still read through the slide for you. The risk probability assessment refers to the likelihood of occurrence of each risk, whereas the impact assessment analysis of the potential impact of each risk occurrence on the project objectives such as schedule, cost, quality, or performance. The impact assessment shall include both positive and negative effects to decide on the threats and opportunities. The experience and expertise of the participants involved is very important. In order to make it more effective, external knowledge experts may be included along with the project team members. The analysis is normally done in interviews, meetings with the select group of project team members and experts. So, simple. Say I have certain categorization of risk. I have a probability and impact of it. So I can put it into numbers, put it into color coding. So something which is in green, maybe the impact is lower and the probability is lower. Something which is there in yellow, maybe the impact is more and the probability is less. Something in red, impact is more, probability is more. So that's how you can create a chart around it. Risk probability and impact assessment. Probability of each risk and its impact on each project objective is assessed, and explanatory details such as assumptions or justifications for level assigned are also recorded. The output of probability and risk assessment will be helpful to update the risk register and categorization of the basis of urgency. The risk with low probability and low impact may be included in the watch list for monitoring throughout the project cycle. So it will not, it should not draw your attention too much, but it should be on the monitoring phase. It should be on the watch list that nothing goes wrong around it, so that it does not convert into a high risk and high impact and high probability risk. This is one of an example I told you about. The green chart is talking about If you look at it, the probability is written here. We have threats that is written here, and we have opportunities that is written here. If you look at this, these are the numbers that have been assigned. This is the legend for it, which says 0.05 is very low, 0.10 is low, 0.20 is moderate, 0.04 is high, and 0.80 is very high. 0.80 is very high again, and it flows in the same manner. Impact, that's the impact, and that's the probability. So let's look at that. 0.045 is something which is very low impact. Though it's a threat, very low impact. The probability is of it is very high, okay, but its impact is almost negligible. Similarly, if we look at something which goes on this part of it, where we're talking about 0.36, where we see the probability is also high and the impact is also very high. So that's how I understand my legend. And this is this is called as the probability and in an impact matrix. So this is how I can put in all the activities. If you remember in the last chapter, I did tell you about you should always have activity numbers. So this is how you can actually trigger your numbers also. So you can have a small chart here which talks about the activity list, and we can have probability chart versus impact chart, and we can have threats and opportunities being placed here. This takes us to the next part of it, which is probability, risk probability and impact assessment. Refer the probability impact matrix constructed to evaluate the importance of each risk and decide on the rating of each risk considering its impact on the project objectives. The matrix indicates the low rating risk with green color and the moderate risk is yellow and the high risk is red. We just spoke about that, and you can look at the slide. We're talking about these numbers here when we said 0.16 or 0.72 is high risk, 0.060 to 0.14 is moderate risk, and 0.003 to 0.05 is the low risk. So we've just identified that chart for us. The classification and the threshold value indicated are indicative only, and basically it's just an example for you to understand. Based on your risk attitude or your organization's risk attitude, based on their appetite, based on the threshold, you can create this legend for yourself and use it. The risk rating rules established by the organization. So you got to decide what is the rating that's been given. Each risk will be rated with reference to its probability of occurrence and its impact of the project objectives to arrive at the risk rating. The risk rating are then further used to decide the categorization and prioritization of risk. This data will be useful to take a decision to make use of expensive analysis tools such as quantitative analysis and decide risk response plan for you. So, what does it mean? This slide will help you to define when to take action. So, if I am into my red zone, I will take immediate actions. So if it's an opportunity for me, I would immediately pick up and dwell something big on it. If it's a threat, I will immediately pick up and create a response plan for this. So I need to have this chart very, very clear before I start moving to the to various projects ahead. Risk register, we've been talking about it. It's nothing but a book or it's a document or a list of risks that have been anticipated in my project. And every time I mitigate them or transfer them or overcome them or accept them, it has to be registered in that risk register. So reading through this risk register with details such as assessment results of the probability and impact for each risk, risk rating, scores and rating ranking, risk categorization, watch list of low probability risk, and list of risk requirement further analysis shall be updated as an output. The assumption data also needs updating considering the availability of new information for qualitative analysis.